And three, two, one.
On your mark, get set, now, go.
Welcome to Scotch and Splenda, the podcast that tastes like The Office but gets you drunk like plotting a joke on your fiance with his brothers, getting into a manure fight with your cousin, or lying to your mom about getting married.
Outstanding.
On Scotch and Splenda here, we are talking about anything and everything in The Office. Most importantly, theories, side stories, and what ifs. We are always your co-regional managers. I'm AJ.
I'm BJ.
I am Nick.
And on this episode, don't forget, you dated your coworker's mom. We're talking all about families. Before we dive in, guys, we always give that quick reminder, smash that five stars,
smash that review.
We want to see your reviews come in, guys. If you don't have a theory, you can still write a review. If you're here listening, if you're signing in every single Monday with us, then get at us. Make sure you write us a review, drop us a five star. You can also leave a voicemail. What's that number, Nick?
It is area code 319-359-7977.
So go leave us a voicemail, 319-359-7977. Send in your voicemail. We want to hear your voice here on the show, like we're about to do right now.
Like this kind listener out of Kansas who did not give their name but did have their area code. So
appreciate it, Kansas.
Google is our friend. Here you are.
Hey, guys. So you haven't talked about this yet, but you did mention web exclusives once. There is a really good one where Creed investigates Oscar that goes into a lot about a lot of theories that you've talked about. Phyllis and Oscar mention a grand jury investigation Bob was in.
Oh.
There's a lot on Creed being Creed and a lot on the accountants as well. So, I think you guys should watch that and talk about it on the podcast.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take that advice. Well, the thing that surprised me is the grand jury about Bob.
Yeah. When he did his appearance on here, he made like his quip about like the grand jury didn't convict.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect. I thought that was just like a joke about the fact that we've made lots of jokes about him being tied to the mob. I did not realize there was actual canon material in the show.
I know. Yeah. That is wonderful.
Yeah.
And then Creed being Creed, I like to think of it as just like Creed thoughts being brought to life.
I can never get enough of Creed being Creed.
We'll definitely go check that out. And yeah, we will report back to you, Kansas.
Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you guys seen any of the webisodes?
I haven't yet, actually. No. It's about the one thing I haven't explored when it comes to The Office. Kind of on purpose. When those webisodes came out, I don't know what it was. I felt like I was just like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be a part of this.
It felt like it was at the time where like lots of shows were doing exclusive web-based content, where it was like,
yeah,
go to the website and watch these extra puzzles from Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Go to the website and watch extra experiments from Bill Nye the Science Guy, like, right, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, look at the behind the scenes.
I feel like The Office kind of like almost started that in a way, though. They talk about it on The Office Ladies like a couple times where like their web presence was way more than any other show at that time. Like they were all about it. And like their websites, I mean, you could go to www.creedthoughts, whatever, and they made a whole website, you know, and they did that for a lot of things.
Yeah.
They invested heavily in the digital world. I mean, the very first episode of anything that streamed to an iPod video was an episode of The Office.
Huh. I did not know that.
No kidding. That's crazy.
Yep. Well, huh. What a fun tidbit. First thing.
That is fun.
I got to go check these out. I got to go check them out. Yeah. And I'm going to make a commitment. I will go find the webisodes.
Can we find them on Peacock? Are they on there, or is it something we'll have to actually search out on YouTube, Beach?
When I watched one episode and I found it on YouTube, it's an easy find on YouTube. I don't know. Peacock might have them now.
Yeah. We'll check it out.
Peacock, like we've said before, has a very deep, deep list of a lot of additional Office content. You know what I mean? A lot of additional Office content, and they're sorting it very well as long as you get into it. So we'll check out the webisodes. We will report back. We also have a what if. Somebody sent in a what if.
Hey!
We had our friend Sarah who said, I need to know, what if Dwight hadn't killed Sprinkles, Angela's cat?
As opposed to Sprinkles, the mailman.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Sprinkles? There's probably a Sprinkles.
There's probably like a Sprinkles the clown out there, right?
Yeah. It's the magician that Jim is rude to later on.
Right.
Hey, yeah. Why are we bullying this magician?
Why is Jim being, what does he say?
Being coarse with that or something.
He's like, why is Jim being unpleasant to the magician or something?
Yeah. Well, okay, what's the obvious? Dwight does not kill Sprinkles, the cat, and instead of shoving it into a freezer after feeding it a ton of antihistamines or whatever.
Here's a fistful of Benadryl. Yeah. No tears, only dreams.
And so he doesn't stuff it in. Like, the bags of French fries are not clawed open. Like, what's the obvious?
As a side note, I love that Angela, who seems like a real stickler for, like, healthy vegetarian food, just has bags of frozen French fries. I really enjoy that a lot.
Yeah.
I know. Like, more than one. Like a deep freeze or something. Yes. Like, because I feel like if the cat really wanted out, like, it might have, like, pushed against something or, like, tried to dig at something. I don't know. But I feel like maybe it was a deep freeze and it's just not going to climb out of
just
this.
Just bags of Oraya everywhere.
Yeah. I feel like there are two types of, like, vegetarians out there. As one, I had a roommate a long time ago who was a vegan, and that dude ate unhealthier than anybody else I've ever met in my life. I mean, it was potato chips for dinner. Like, and he's like, I'm a vegan. And I'm like, okay, well, you're just like a junk foodie and you just don't eat like meat products. Like, this isn't what being a vegan is.
You're the equivalent of if you were exclusively a carnivore, you would be eating only Frank's or Bar-S hot dogs.
Like, exactly. That's...
You basically live off the vending machines. Like, what is going on?
Yeah. And it was. It was like French fries and potato chips. And I mean, that was like it. That was his diet. I mean, he had McDonald's French fries like every day. That was dinner.
Amazing.
What is there that's vegetarian? It's all vegetarian. I'll just have some bread.
Ah, you used your hands. Yeah.
Okay, back on track.
Back on track here, guys. Give me an obvious one. Obviously, what?
They don't break up.
They don't break up.
She sees Dwight as a provider who can handle responsibility, sees an empathy in him that maybe she had not seen, and maybe they end up with a kid sooner.
Yeah.
That is my theory. She says, if he can handle rectal suppositories, he can handle a child. So they don't break up. And I guess that's where I'm at. Probably their relationship advances further, obviously. She doesn't date Andy. We don't get the duel, et cetera.
Right. We don't have the duel.
We wouldn't get a lot. I mean, you wouldn't get the senator.
That's true.
Yeah. One key thing that I think is I don't think Andy and Dwight would ever become friendly or friends.
Yeah, I don't.
If you think about it. Yeah. So the timeline of that is Dwight and Angela essentially break it off, right? Then she starts getting courted by Andy, and he's just wearing her down.
All of the success.
And then she starts having an affair with Dwight, though.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, for a long time. Then they have the duel. That all comes to a head. And Dwight says, at one point, you know, we were mortal enemies. And now and I find Andy to be quite delightful. And he's like, he's like, how's this? Looks like a hunter who can throw an outfit together. You know, yeah. Like he's taking Andy hunting.
Yes.
And they have some like bonding experiences and all that good stuff. So
it's the whole weird thing with Aaron after she starts, where they're like both sort of into her.
Oh, yeah.
And Dwight does the very uncomfortable, like, and I'm guessing a little bit of blood rushed to your penis because a little bit rushed to mine as well.
When they do Country Road Take Me Home together,
oh my
just
God.
Kill
yeah.
it.
I fucking love Toby's banging on the window. You have to stop.
So that's funny. That leads to another relationship then, like you're saying. If Dwight is with Angela, continues on, we would assume, then Andy doesn't really have any battle for Aaron.
Yeah,
in this world, and that means Aaron and Andy could probably get together much sooner and much easier, and they wouldn't have all this back and forth.
Yeah,
Andy wouldn't have had that relationship with Angela that eventually broke it off with Aaron.
Yeah,
you know that she got upset with on Secretary's Day.
Yeah,
I mean this is a rabbit hole. Let's be real.
Yeah, this is the butterfly's wings flapping in the wind.
100%. Ray Bradbury is very proud of you. Okay,
yeah.
Sarah.
I kind of have a little theory here.
Okay.
So Dwight goes and takes care of the cat, doesn't kill the cat, but comes back, he's still Dwight. So he's still going to see an animal in pain that needs to be put down. And frankly, he's probably right, right?
Probably, and yeah.
Yeah.
This cat should not be alive, guys.
We don't know the extent.
This cat is through 8 9/10 lives.
Yeah. So I think that he would then try to convince Angela to put Sprinkles down, leading to arguments, leading to a breakup.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So you're going the opposite way.
I think I'm going to go the opposite.
Wow.
I don't know. Like, when would they come out as a couple? Because they've made it very clear that they, like, don't acknowledge it to other people that they're together. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, despite the fact that they've been together for a long time, they're obviously in love. Like, they don't really confirm that with anybody.
Yeah.
And so part of me wonders how long that would go on before they, like, made it official to the rest of the office, I guess, or if they ever would the relationship have been able to advance beyond that? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Could they have opened up their relationship to the world?
Yeah.
Would they have to sign, you know,
a waiver,
you know, that they can't sue the company?
You know, I don't know.
You know,
I don't know.
No, nothing there.
I don't know.
Okay.
The thought just crossed my mind, like, because I'm trying to think back of like all the subsequent relationships that happened with this, and obviously we jumped into Angela going with Andy and stuff, but like Dwight gets with Angela.
Yeah.
And is also at one point with Isabel.
Isabel. Team Isabel, by the way. Sorry.
And is also at one point with, what's the country girl's name? Towards the end.
The tall blonde gal, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Farmer's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one who's like, I had to hurry plucking the chickens, so you might have a little bit of meat in your pillow or a little feather in your nuggets.
Yeah. Oh God! What was her name?
What is her
it's
name?
Like a very it's a very country yes. name because you AG's you think she's not
up. Yeah
yeah
it is Esther.
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 Can we just establish like Dwight is a sexual anomaly?
Yeah.
He's slinging peen left and right, but then asks Toby questions like, "Where is the clitoris?"
Yeah, he's. You know, hey,
how?
Maybe Toby really educated him. I don't know. Maybe he got.
You think Toby knows that much?
Yeah, I don't know. You're right though. It is kind of a 180 for sure. That all of a sudden he is just able to just pull it, with ease. And Michael puts it perfectly. He looks like he's going to a fish fry at the wedding.
With the
wedding
wolf shirt.
With the wolf shirt.
Animalistic because of howling.
It represents howling.
It's
perfectly good going out outfit. It's like, you know,
it's just tucked into the pants. It's really, that shirt is rough.
I feel
that
like
shirt is the Goodwill special.
It's great, honestly. I want one. I don't know, guys. I think there's a lot of relationships that wouldn't have happened. I think that there are some relationships that, in fact, would have happened.
Yeah.
If you continue down the Aaron line, you know, we have even Plop, you know.
Yeah.
So
I'd be curious to see what happens with just the relationships within the accounting team.
Mm.
Because so much of their bond forms from Oscar's affair with the senator, right?
Right.
Him and Kevin obviously gain a much deeper level of trust because Kevin is able to keep that secret and, like, they become sort of a closer friend. Angela and him obviously get to a point where, like, they've bonded very well because he's, like, the godfather to their kid. And you know what I mean? Like, I'd be interested to see how that in the long term would have affected things like just their interpersonal relationships.
Yeah. Well, on that note, think about it. Would Dwight have, I don't know if this is before or after, but, well, I think it was before. I was thinking about, like, when Dwight took the fall for the tax forms.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, with that was, and yep, she bonded with Oscar over that.
Right.
When he came back, you know, things like that. That might have been before, to be honest, but.
That was before. Yeah, that was
okay,
before.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
Because that was not terribly far after. That was, what, like a half a season after Gay Witch Hunt?
Right. I believe so.
Because it's right after Oscar comes back from his settlement.
Yes.
His vacation with his new company, yeah, lease. And,
I'd really love a home theater.
He really wants people to shut up, but he also really wants a home theater.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of relationships being burdened and unburdened, to be honest. I think Dwight killing the cat could have had a major effect, or if he didn't kill the cat, it could have had a major effect on some of these plot lines. Yeah. So,
what if they stayed together all the way to Jim and Pam's wedding, and Michael hooked up with Isabel instead of Dwight at the wedding, and never hooked up with Pam's mom?
Oh,
okay. Here's maybe where I'm at. What if? Okay, so Dwight would have never gone with Michael to New York necessarily if him and Angela are still together, if him and Angela are, like, close.
Yeah.
For the sushi party.
Right.
Meaning they never would have gotten locked out. Toby never would have done the awkward hand on the knee, never would have moved to Costa Rica, and we never got Holly.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, no. They would have never gone to New York.
Yeah.
And never, the lockout wouldn't have happened.
Because they were split.
Because they would have had keys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with Dwight.
Yeah.
Because he had both.
Because he would have been there. Yeah. But what if you die, Dwight? If I'm dead, you've been dead for weeks. Yeah.
Oh,
we
man.
We get no Holly.
This is endless.
Michael never leaves.
This is endless.
If Dwight doesn't kill Sprinkles, Michael Scott never leaves Dunder Mifflin.
Then
we never have to meet D'Angelo Vickers, Robert California,
yeah,
Nelly, or any of them.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
God.
Dang it.
If Dwight would have just let the stupid thing live, we would have ended way better.
We could have nine seasons of Steve Carell, you selfish bastard.
Selfish dick.
I love it.
Oh, my God. I'm letting that in. I'm letting that end it because I don't want it to not be anything other than that.
Good job. That was a good job, Nick.
That was like a great finish up there, guys. Oh, my goodness. I'd say my throat's a little dry after that.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I brought a new one for us to try today, Jens.
Oh, boy. What do we got? Tell us about it.
Okay. So today we're doing the Old Elk Small Batch. It is a Sour Mash Reserve. Okay. It's 105 proof, 52.5%. And it's got a little story on the back. I think I might read it to you.
Please.
Tell me.
Old Elk Sour Mash Reserve is crafted with experience, passion, and zero compromises. Our distilleries took our award-winning flagship high malt mash bill and began a journey to discover what would change if we experimented with different yeast. Our travels resulted in unique straight bourbon whiskey held in this bottle. The robust foundation that is our flagship high malt mash bill anchors the heady complexities from a unique yeast. The results is a 30 barrel small batch whiskey that transports you. We hope you sit back, relax, and enjoy. And yes, they said sip back. That's why I wanted to read it all the way, because that last stupid line I thought was so awesome. Yeah, sip back.
That's all you wanted out of it.
God damn it. You know I'm a sucker for a good pun.
I know you are. We know you are.
We are drinking these for what it's worth. I feel like it's worth another shout out. We are drinking these out of our great branded Scotch and Splenda labeled with names glasses, courtesy of DNF Designs.
Indeed we are.
Yes. Thank you, Danielle.
I got my own name etched onto a glass with Scotch and Splenda on the other side. You got to check them out. They do great work. I love that.
Very cool.
Let's give a little sipski.
You got it.
Pop the bottle. Let's go. Cheers.
That's warm. That's warm.
It helped me find a canker sore on the inside of my lip that I did not know I had yet.
Good. Good.
Ooh, that is hot.
Oh. Oh. God. PJ, what are you doing to me?
That's sweet.
I love it.
It's like there's
it almost reminds me of the Canadian we had a few weeks back.
Kinda. It's so much of that. It's like, you're right. Not as sweet as that. Like, it's somehow, this is just, I would describe it as robust, if I may.
It is a Bordeaux.
It's a Bordeaux. World. It's quite, yeah, you're right. This is quite the Merlot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely heavy on my palate. I am drinking it with ice, because that is the way I've learned that I've preferred these types of things at this point. It's very warm. It is just a lot going on. It damn near knocked me over upon my first sip. I don't know. It's tasty. Like, I like the taste of it, but man, it's like concentrated, like, flavors to me.
That's a slow sipper for sure.
Whoa. I love it.
I dig it. I get into it.
I think that's
that's a good way to put it, AJ. It is. It's almost concentrated flavors. It's like they've dialed the oak up to 11.
Yes, like, 100%.
You get a lot of oak. I still get a little sweetness on the tail.
It's definitely sweet.
And yeah, it's very woody. You know, yeah. I feel like I'm kind of like, I might like be trekking through a forest, maybe get, you know, cut some lumber or something.
If I was out on a camping trip and I had this in the flask, I would not be cold.
Yeah.
My goodness. This is a one packet of Splenda for me.
Okay.
Like, it's...
The nose on it is awesome.
See, that's what I like about it so much.
If you bury your face in it, like, if you just walk.
You get it from a ways.
Man, the nose is awesome on that.
If I had a candle that was this smell, I would be... like the manliest person ever.
Just put it in a little
bonfire.
Lounge.
James, yeah. Bonfire.
James Bonfire. Bonfire. James, yeah. Bonfire.
Well, thanks for bringing that there, BJ.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got quite a few of the Old Elk and the whole line, I think. I mean, as far as I've been able to find, I think I have it all. My favorite one is the one that AJ probably would like the most, and that's the Weeded. That's my favorite.
I bet you're right.
It's softer. It's not, you don't get as much of a burn, and it's got that sweet wheat, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got
to try that. One. We'll do that soon.
I can't wait.
We can do a series where we go through all my different Blantons back-to-back-to-back weeks, and then we'll go through all the Old Elks back-to-back-to-back weeks.
So you guys are saying that you want to go through two different families of whiskeys?
Nice.
Is that what you're saying?
Segways.
Is that what you're saying, Nicholas?
Segway fucking sucks.
We're talking about families this episode. Come on. It was worth it. BJ loved it, didn't he?
I loved it. It's great.
See?
That's why I'm here.
That's right.
It's crap like that. That is why I'm here.
This is why he's
crap like that.
Oh, man. Well, we've got to go through a lot of family members here. Hopefully we'll make it through the majority of them, and make sure you let us know, like, if we forgot anybody, you know, who we forgot to talk about. We can cover it again. We can always go through it again.
Yeah, I bet this will be a part one.
This will be
a family's part one. There's just so many of them. We could spend most of an episode on a couple right off the bat that I think of.
Yeah. Well, who do you got? Like, what do we?
Yeah, start us off,
thinking?
Nick.
Like, Moe's is one who springs to mind.
Yeah.
Moe's would be like a family member of one of the main characters. I feel like we could spend 2/3 of an episode talking about Moe's.
Yeah.
Now remind me who Moe's is. Is he that young gent with the neck beard?
Yes, he is. The young Amish looking gentleman.
Yep.
Yep, that is him. That is Moe's.
Moe's is Dwight's cousin. Michael Shore. Played by the genius Michael Shore. Give credit to him. I mean,
co-creator of the show. Creator of the shows. The Good Place and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yep. And Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec. Yep.
Guy is prolific.
So he really cannot
TV goes.
Screw up a show. Yeah.
So Moe's is hilarious to me because he's got like. He is, for what like Parks and Rec has with John Ralphio, he is the John Ralphio for me in this show. He is just the perfect amount of usage and comic relief. And you get just a little bit more of him in later seasons. That's a lot of fun. Yeah. Like when they're going through and they're doing the interview for Junior Salesman. And Dwight is interviewing Moe's. And he's like, it says here that you've been working for Dow Chemical for the last 15 years. That's right.
That's right.
You know we live together, right?
He just gets up and runs.
Yeah.
I think the thing about Moe's is I want to know more about Moe's family.
Yeah.
I want to dive deeper into that. And why is Moe's the way he is?
Is Dwight's Aunt Shirley, is that Moe's mom?
Is that who it is?
I don't know. I just know that that's his aunt. And
Moe's
is his
family
cousin.
Tree. Yeah, I don't know the family tree.
I have a feeling their family tree looks more like a wreath.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, fair enough.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't. That's the only aunt that I can think of. Or his uncle Honk. Is that Moe's dad? he mentioned who sends him the holster, and I guess he's proud of me.
Yeah. Well,
it doesn't officially say on Dunderpedia who his parents are. It just says Zeke, his brother, who we meet in that same episode, the interview episode. And then his cousins, which are Dwight, Jeb, and Fanny, which are Dwight and his siblings. And that's all it says on the official Dunder page. However, I will make a note that Moe's does have an official alias on the Dunder Wikipedia page.
Is it Fear?
And that is Fear.
Ah! God damn it.
Yes. Yes.
Fear.
You must wrestle my cousin Moe's. It's just like, bye, Ryan.
Bye, Ryan.
You seem nice.
I know we talked about it once in the group chat, but I love when Dwight is opening the daycare.
Yeah.
And they open the door. And they're like, ah. Welcome, children.
Welcome.
He's got a baby Bjorn on. Pam's like, were you painting in the dark?
I just like the sheltered life that Moe's lives. Like the amount of exposure to the world that he just doesn't have is what's so shocking to me, that like that Dwight even lets this kind of be a thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I love Moe's as the valet in Garden Party.
Yeah. Oh
my That's gosh. One of my favorites.
Go on.
When Toby pulls up and he's like, I'm the valet, you have to give me your car. No, it's okay, I'll just park. You have to give me your car, I'm the valet. And then he lines them all up and tries to do like the evil Knievel and then just runs over the top of them.
Yeah, he's just stomping them out. Like, that is, you're right. He just, think about, he just, all he does is be on that farm.
Yeah.
That's all he does. The amount of time that he has on his hands to just do whatever the hell he wants.
Way too much.
And the fact that he just, in fact, does whatever the hell he wants on his property, like the cars.
Yeah.
Or he has so much time on his hands that he makes just the most immense amount of bacon when Michael is staying at the the
Shroop Farms.
Shroop Farms. You know, like
there's his deep seated and complicated relationship with the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of my favorite parts about Moses the valet is him just barreling through the stalks of corn at 45 miles an hour in Toby's car.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty so excellent.
I like that.
I like Mose as the decoy Dwight during the when he's trying to take the diaper for the paternity test.
Oh God.
Yep. And he's in like the decoy Trans Am.
Yeah.
Dressed like Dwight that Angela pulls over.
He'll do it all. Like there's nothing he won't do for Dwight in my mind. And there's nothing that he doesn't want to do himself on that farm. Love it.
I love Mose. Yeah.
Let me throw out just a couple like things we know for sure about Mose.
Okay.
Yeah, hit me.
Okay. So one, we know that he loves the movie Jurassic Park. Because in the episode where Jim and Pam go to the farm, he's wearing Jurassic Park PJs when they're reading Harry Potter.
Right.
Yep. Excellent.
So we can you know assume that he likes the movie Jurassic Park.
I like to think that because they don't do much for technology, he's a big fan of the Michael Crichton book Jurassic Park.
Okay. Sure. I was picturing like they have like four VHS tapes in the house. And yes. Jurassic Park is one of the four. Like
I dig it.
Half of the Titanic series or half of the Titanic VHSs. This was one of two.
Just tape one because Kevin took tape two.
Because he took tape two.
They're all in Blockbuster cases because they didn't understand how video rental stores work and never brought them back.
Correct.
Yep. Correct. Yep. so we know that he was traumatized by a storm at one point. You learn that in the same episode. He loves to seesaw with Dwight.
Yeah, yeah.
And most seesaw all the time.
Yep, he likes to jump on the trampoline and try to impress Jim and Pam with his trampoline tricks. it's mentioned a couple times that Mose like had never left the farm. But then there's some like discrepancies there because at one point he shows up with a raccoon to haze Holly, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And he is an amazing ping pong player. We know that for sure too, because he goes to the warehouse and plays ping pong with Dwight, and they're just fantastic.
Yep, they're doing like the full Olympic table tennis, 15 steps back from the table, giant swings.
Yep,
and I have a full size Hiram Hora on my wall.
Good stuff. Those are some things we could deduce about him, you know, without doing a what if situation, just little tidbits. I will say that Michael Schur despised playing Mose. Hated it.
Was that right?
Yeah. Yeah. He mentioned it. And Greg Daniels actually made him grow the neck beard for the first couple like seasons that he was in when he was playing Mose.
That was not a prosthetic.
Nope, not. And then eventually shaved it when he went to Parks and Rec, and then came back to play Mose again, and they used a fake beard, and it looks the exact same. Greg Daniels even joked on, I can't remember if it was on Brian Baumgartner's podcast or if it was Office Ladies, but he jokes, he's like, I made him grow that real one, and the prosthetic fake one looks so much better.
And like, oh my God.
That was brutal.
That is brutal. As a neckbeard person myself,
it's so itchy.
It's not great. It's not fun.
Especially at that length, that would be very unpleasant.
Absolutely.
I can confidently say I've never seen anybody pull off a neckbeard. I've never seen one and been like, that looks really good, man, or woman, or whatever. Like,
absolutely not.
Judge. I'm just saying it just doesn't.
Some Amish guy in a horse and buggy, and you're like, oh, come on, Yoder.
Give him a hand. All right, moving on from Mose. Mose is great. We could cover some more on Mose probably at a later time. I think we've got that option. We could spiral off here a little bit and talk about like Pam and Pam's mom and her dad and
Helene,
who we do know. First and foremost, was recast.
Yep.
The weirdest thing about the recast is, like, Pam's mom in the very first what was it, season two, I believe, or was it season one?
Season two. It was season two.
Okay.
Yeah, for the sexual harassment training.
That's right, yes. Yep. And so,
season two, episode two.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. And so you see her, and she is like normal mom.
Yep.
She is like, yep, that's Pam's mom for sure. No, I get that 100%. Like very kind of nice and very pleasant and, you know, wondering who all her friends are and, you know, is taking interest in Pam's work.
Yeah.
And then we see her later on around, you know, Pam's wedding, Pam and Jim's wedding.
Yep. Niagara.
And we meet Helene. And Helene is a far cry.
She's real strange.
She's a very strange person, to be honest. Like, I know we also heard about you know, in between now and then, Pam's parents divorced. Yep. They separated. And so
Because of Jim.
But so we know she must be going through like kind of a tough time, like kind of some, you know, crisis stuff, you know,
sure,
midlife, whatever. And so I think that's probably got a play in it. But she's just a strange lady.
She's a weird cat for sure.
Yeah.
She's like, she's got a, I don't know, almost like a strange accent when she talks to me.
Yeah.
Like that's very like old school Hollywood.
Okay.
Like, I know that we made fun of it before when we were talking on Michael's love life, when she's saying that, like, the triathlons and stuff, and there's just so much I'd rather be doing.
Yeah.
Nowadays. And it's just like, where is this coming from?
It's like some sort of, like, almost Hampton type
yep,
yuppie kind of accent that I imagine,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. She seems more like an East Coast, like, New Yorker or Connecticut, like, upper
yeah,
class, you know, not like a down to earth. Like Pam's mom has got to be like the original one, just like the most down to earth, like mom. Like they go to the mall together, they're BFFs.
Right.
Helene, yep, the second Helene, seems like the mom that like never held her kids but had like a wet nurse, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And by the way, like I don't buy it for a second that first lady is named Helene.
No,
I don't buy that
no
for
way,
a
no,
second. That's
that
Helen.
Lady, yeah. Yeah, that's probably Helen. Yeah,
that is Helen. Like, if anything,
she strikes me as like a Beth,
maybe? Or a yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Like just a nice, you know,
a Lori. So you know,
yeah, a Lori.
She's a Lori. Yeah,
it's a Lori.
Yeah,
yeah. Like L-O-R-I.
You know, Lori Beasley. I think that's her name.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You know who? You know what her name is?
Tell me.
It's Mrs. Beasley.
It's
that's
Mrs.
what everyone
Beasley
would call her.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
Mrs. Beasley.
I see.
In the neighborhood. That's Mrs.
In the
Beasley
neighborhood
she makes
that
best
she
chocolate
lives
chip cookies. Yep.
Yep. You know she does.
Yeah.
Like she's
yeah,
she definitely welcomes like the new neighbors in.
That's, yeah,
that is definitely
yep,
a thing. So
she's definitely the full size candy bar house on Halloween.
Hell yeah, bro.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mrs. Beasley makes the best lasagna and is the best with trick or treating. New age Helene. Yeah, no, she eats like only sushi that's like fair trade and has never held a baby in her life.
New Helene gives out little Oral-B flosses that she swiped from the dentist's office on Halloween.
Yeah.
And pennies.
So, and I'm not saying like, it's nothing, I don't know.
Oh, I'll say it. Fuck New Helene.
Fuck New Helene, you know? I mean, like, yeah, that is... she hooks up with Michael. What else do you need to say?
Yeah.
Like,
what
yeah,
terrible decision-making skills.
Yeah.
Not only did she hook up with Michael, she had an actual relationship with Michael.
Yeah.
It's not even like a one-night stand like Concierge Marie that could be forgiven for such a terrible lapse in judgment.
Right.
She continued to go back.
Yeah, she did.
We can only assume that Andy... We can only assume Andy Bernard bought her a Long Island iced tea up there in Canada, and that's the bad decision juice, so we cut her some slack.
I think he did set some like very large glasses of wine down for them.
Like, yeah.
He's like try. It's like setting the table and like setting the date. What a silly freaking thing. Yeah. Helene, not a big fan of Helene. You know, there's not much I really appreciate about Helene.
New Helene.
I'll say
does
one
not
more
seem
thing
to appreciate the hilarious hijinks that Michael gets himself into when he's trying to inform all of his ex-lovers that he has herpes.
Right.
Yeah, she's got no patience. I can't believe she's at the park with the kid. You know that there's a nanny on a cell phone off in the distance, actually in charge.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I got one more thing to say about Helene, and then we can move on.
Okay.
I totally agree with Pam. When Pam finds out that they're dating and she freaks out, now I do think that maybe she overreacted a little bit, like the screaming, whatever. But like when she goes and calls her mom and she's like, how many times have I complained to you about him? Like, you yeah. know, like every time yeah. her mom's like, how was work? And Pam's like, oh, my boss is such an idiot. Like, he did this. He sexually harassed this person. He makes racist jokes because he's stupid. He doesn't, you know, like, just think, especially like, just like envision season one, Michael. And
yeah.
And then here she is like, no cares to give because he's a young, you know, decent looking 40 in his 40s. And she's yeah. trying to get back at her ex-husband. Like, right. Not a good person.
It's not like they even hit it off particularly well right off the bat. He like asks her for a snack or candy and then just addresses, I just assumed because you're a mom, you'd have snacks.
Yeah.
And then she gives him yeah. like an apricot one and then is all like shitty with him when he asks if she has any ocean spray, which is a ridiculous request.
Yeah.
But like, how do yeah. we go from that to being in a serious committed relationship?
Yeah, I know. I really wish I could see the footage of between then and walking into that room. I really wish yeah. I could see.
It's bad, dude.
Like, how are they talking to each other when he's, you know, especially after he was the one during the first dinner.
Yeah.
The rehearsal dinner.
Yes.
And he stood up and he said all that crap.
Yeah.
We can't expect them to be careful every time.
Every time.
He's just talking about your daughter getting it put on her yeah. at a rehearsal dinner for her wedding. And like the next day he's badgering you about snacks because the wedding is late to start. You're concerned because you have no idea where your daughter and her soon-to-be husband are.
Yeah.
You can't get a hold of anybody. And you've got this jackass who you've heard nothing but terrible things about yeah. and seen nothing but terrible things about harassing you for an ocean spray fruit snack.
Right.
And now somehow you two are lovers.
Yep.
Just putting the suspension to work on your green Camry.
apparently, Michael talking about, you know, Pam getting smashed and splashed is just going to lead you to, you know, her getting smashed.
Did Michael pack his Kangol cap? Is that a portion that we missed? Did he just absolutely break it down on the Cupid shuffle at the rehearsal dinner?
Do you think...
Does he have the moves with the chicken dance? These are the questions that plague us that we will never know.
We will never know. We don't have the
But
footage.
We can make our own assumptions and
You're right.
guesses at.
You
that's
are
what
correct.
We do on this podcast.
All right. I have to mention, right. since we mentioned Pam's mom, can I mention how like awful Pam's dad seems?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who is this? Is it Christy Lee or whoever her name, whatever her name is?
Yeah. He's got the new
make an extra spot
there.
At the head table. Like, oh. No. Oh. No, Dad. This is my wedding. I don't want your
no.
freaking 23-year-old, like, girlfriend.
Like, this, peace. Ugh.
I'm like,
get you and your skank hooker
suck.
Wife out of here. We play 80s Joel.
Absolutely awful. Was this your niece?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just pretty yeah. rough. I won't spend much time on her. What about her sisters?
No.
Her sister, played by Anna Camp from yeah. Pitch Perfect and True Blood, is very funny. The one with the Oscar Kevin debacle.
Yeah.
She yep. cracks me
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very funny.
Yeah, like, she's a great actress. She's
you
a,
owe me an apology. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I wish her role in that episode would have been a little bit bigger because I do think yeah. she's a good actress. I like her a lot.
I think it would have been funny if, like, her and Kevin had hooked up. That would have made me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
That would have been really, really, a really good turn of events. If, like, Pam looks around and her sister's hooking up with Kevin, her best friend's hooking up with Dwight, she would be like, what is happening? What is happening?
Why is this
happening? What sort of aphrodisiac has been poured into Niagara Falls to make this happen?
My mom's banging Michael. My sister's banging Kevin.
Yeah.
My best friend's banging Dwight. Literally the three least favorite people in the office.
She looks over and Toby's just like, Toby's just mouth deep in his fifth whiskey sour of the evening. And like the tie is slightly undone. He's evaluating all his decisions.
Oh,
no. Man.
All right. I'm moving on. I'm not going to get caught in Toby land for his wife.
Can we talk about Jim's brothers and how big of douchebags they are?
Jim's brothers suck.
I would love to talk about Jim's brothers. Jim's brothers are pretty much the worst. You've got Tom and you got Pete. Tom and Pete.
Which one's the bald fuckhead?
Tom.
Tom. Tom can suck my butt.
Yeah, we're
going
to prank Tom at Thanksgiving for being bald.
Yeah.
Tom can suck my butt.
Yeah. This
they
is
both
the thing.
Stink.
They get into this, they're like they think that their jokes are funny, but they're like it's not even a joke. You're just ripping on Pam for literally her life.
Yeah.
At this like dinner you're about to have with them. That's pretty messed up, man. Like, why do you think this is funny? Like, you're playing a joke.
Yeah.
But you're saying it. So how is it not like not a joke?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The only like their sense of humor is like make fun of and can you take it and can you dish it out, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe their philosophy there, and I'm not defending them because I think they suck, but maybe their philosophy there was, oh, if she can take this prank and play into it and then be cool about it, she's cool. You know? Like that had it in the end game. And I don't respect it because it's dumb. Like,
oh, it's shitty behavior.
And I think Pam's line about like we should prank Tom at Thanksgiving about being bald, like you should.
Yeah.
I absolutely think you should. I think every joke that comes out of your mouth, Pam, should be a bald joke about Tom or about his life in some fashion, and then just laugh it off and be like, come on, this is just what we do, big boy. Like, just dish it back. Like, that would give her some redemption, and I would love that.
Yeah.
At the wedding, they're trying to prank their sister, is it, with a whoopee cushion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucilia.
Yeah.
Which is, like, what, the only mention of Jim's sister ever?
She's mentioned a couple times. I think her name's, like,
Larissa?
Larissa.
Larissa. Yeah. Larissa Helper, yeah. She's mentioned a couple times, but you don't ever see her or interact. Maybe
so
she's
like,
just like pretty normal.
They're just like trying to screw with the sister of the groom on the wedding day with like a whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
Like, and you go to the terrible boss that everybody always complains about to get it.
Yeah. Like that's the thing. By the way,
in front of the mother of the bride, mind you.
Yeah.
They come over and ask this favor of him.
If this was a real wedding, the mother of the bride would have turned around and say, you guys are not doing this right now at my daughter's wedding.
Yeah,
like, we're not going to make this, we're not going to turn this my daughter's day into a fart joke. But of course, Helene didn't because she's a shitty mother.
Well, and it's like they're missing. They're late because they're out on a boat getting married at Niagara Falls. And it's like, your brother, the groom, is missing. One of you, I assume, is probably the best man. And you're both at least groomsmen. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing to remedy this situation? You want a whoopee cushion to make a fart joke for your sister?
Yeah.
Like, you guys suck super hard.
Why aren't you trying to get a hold of your brother and find out if he's okay? Like, did his fiance just leave him at the altar and he is devastated somewhere and needs help? No, you want to play a fart joke on your sister. You suck.
What are you doing to help other than just being gigantic man children?
Pam? You're super cool, and your body is really fine.
Oh, my God, yes, at the toast. Yes, at the rehearsal dinner.
Hopefully it makes our wives step it up a little bit more.
A little mo cardio. Oh, just.
That's the worst.
Just stab him through the neck with a champagne flute. Like, after, oh my God, those guys suck
a little
so hard.
Cardio.
And then, of course, but that is, of course, Michael's sense of humor. When Michael's like, oh, they have hilarious material. They're going to kill it, but totally deliver it wrong.
Yeah, they're going to butcher it.
I would kill it with the brother stuff. It should be me up there. It should be me and Pete, not Pete and Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh. That's good stuff. All right, who else you got?
Well, we could talk about all of Stanley's wives.
Stanley's wife slash mistress.
Mistress, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got Terry.
Terry.
And then the woman whose hand I'm holding.
And then Cynthia.
And then Cynthia.
That's a hard one to forget. That is my wife's name.
Yep, that's right.
And then don't forget about Phyllis's one-night stand.
Phyllis's one-night stand, which is in the Scotch and Splenda ethos.
Correct, correct.
The ladies that he's trying to bed in Florida, who I think he did at one point when he comes over and he's talking about how his rum is out of, or his mini fridge is out of rum.
Yeah.
That he's getting from and then he notices Kathy in there and he's like, careful, Hal, but it gets easier and easier every time.
Yeah.
And you're
that's
like,
disgusting.
Whoa.
You sucks, God, dude.
How awful are you, Stanley? Man, oh man. I don't know. Also his daughter.
Yep.
Who is it, Melissa? I believe it's Melissa.
The one who's like trying to get Ryan put on a sex offender list.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's super messed up. It is a very messed up situation. And like Ryan is just like, boy, have you done lost your mind? Because I'll help you find it.
That little girl is a child.
Is a child.
Don't be looking out there. Nobody going to help you out there. Jesus could come through that door. He's not going to help you out there. If you don't stop sniffing after my child.
Sniffing after my child.
That girl is why I'll never have kids.
Oh, man. She's out of control.
I would just hate to have a teenage daughter like her. She sucks.
Yeah. She sucks.
You've never been to Jitters? Oh, my God, Ryan. You're so dorky.
You're so dorky.
Give me your phone. Let me put my number in.
Give me your number so I can text you.
Yeah. It's like, oh, she sucks so hard.
No.
Jeez. No wonder your mother left.
No wonder your mother
Terry,
left.
That woman is not my mother.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes,
that's right. Okay, so that's pretty well established. Stanley either had another wife or, I mean, obviously the mother of his child at some point. So Terry's not her mom. And Cynthia's not her mom.
Oh, my gosh. You're right.
Terry, that woman is not my mother. You're right. That is something she said.
Because he does. He makes mention of it. He's like, I never said sorry to my first wife.
Yeah.
He's like, and then I've never said sorry to my second wife.
It's like I tell my wife. I don't apologize unless I think I'm wrong.
There it is.
And if you don't like it, you can leave. And I'll say it to my current wife, and I'll say it to my next one too. So, that's right. Okay, so he's been married even before Terry.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk through Terry. We get very little of, right? It's mostly what, Dundies.
A lot of Dundies. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
and that's where Stacy is
all
too.
You get.
Dundies is a good episode for the quote family or the others,
some
you know,
spousal units.
Others.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you get Terry, you get Stacy with Kevin, and that's really all you get from her. Stacy is at Jim's barbecue as well.
Okay.
But otherwise, I think those are the only two spots she's in.
Can we talk a little bit more on Bring Your Kid to Work Day and how shitty Meredith's kid is?
I really wanted to get to Jake.
Yeah, Jake is his name.
Jake.
That's right.
It's Meredith's son.
Yeah, who she has another child, evidently, but like it's never mentioned again beyond just the maternity
leave. Well, in a deleted scene, and I can't remember what season it is, it is brought up what happened. So she mentions early on that she has like two kids and her ex. And then she says,
time off.
Yeah, and she says in a talking head that her ex-husband took the good one. Like,
Jesus. Oh, no.
That's brutal.
Oh, that's right.
So she there is a quick blip on that, and it was cut. I cannot remember what episode that was in, but I definitely saw it when I went down some sort of rabbit hole.
Oh,
where she just talking it.
Rough.
She's like, "Yeah, my ex-husband took the good one." And I think it might even have been an extended. No, because they probably would have put that in the Super Fans episode. So yeah. I don't know. I can't remember where I saw that, but it's out there. It's out there in the universe. They had two kids. Meredith's ex-husband took the good one.
Oh, man. Because you have Jake, and Jake sucks for a lot of reasons, but let's dive in.
Well, he sucks for a lot of reasons because, number one, he got suspended from school. And this is, by the way, this is bring your daughter to work day.
Daughter, that's right.
And he is not supposed to be there.
But Michael said I could bring Jakey, so she got suspended from school.
So I don't have to pay for daycare or babysitter. So he's very disrespectful.
Mr. Poop.
He keeps taking money from Michael.
Yeah.
Do you have like another quarter? He's like, that way I can get like chips and a pop or like.
Yeah.
If we fast forward quite a bit, then we also see him at the bachelorette party as a stripper. So
I do love the like side note joke that Meredith makes about then my kid wouldn't have a face tattoo.
Yeah.
And you see him like a season later on Family Portrait Day and he's there with Meredith getting the picture and he's like, "Will you just smile?" And she's like, "I don't want to."
She is?
Yeah, she says that.
Yeah.
And then, yes, he is the male stripper.
He is the male stripper.
That she handles in just the most uncomfortable way.
The oddest way. Yeah. It's like, let me show you how it's done.
I don't like that.
It's pretty weird.
I regret having us dive down this rabbit hole.
You know what? This is a bad one.
I hate to be this guy, but I think I need to defend Jake. His home life could not have been great. Like,
his house
maybe
is Katrina.
maybe all the blame shouldn't go on him. I mean, you know, every morning he gets a Vienna sausage and a napkin for breakfast. He's not living his best life.
I'm just going to say, that's what he's living on right now.
Can we establish that Meredith was getting her master's in social work? And she still managed to raise such a terrible, terrible child.
Ugh.
Did she like maybe start on that once she realized how badly she had gone down that road with Jake?
Yeah.
She was like, "Man, he's really terrible. Maybe I should reevaluate what I'm doing." And went to take like some adult continued education classes.
Yeah.
And was like, "Oh, well, now I'm part of the way to a degree in social work." Yeah. It's like, maybe I can learn more.
Yeah.
But that's a fair point, BJ. His home life sucked.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that if she was happy to tell the cameras that her ex-husband took the good one, I'm sure that that information got back to him at some point, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Jake watching the show after
just
it airs.
What the fuck,
just getting
Mom?
Called the bad one, essentially. So, yikes. I'm going to take it away from the children.
Okay.
At this point, because I wanted to cover one, I wanted to talk about Gil.
Gil.
I wanted to talk about Gil, Oscar's
his
boyfriend.
Oscar's
significant.
Yeah.
That you're just
be careful, because I think I'm a big fan of Gil.
You are?
I think I am. I think he is a very like normal, like he's not part of the Office radon phenomenon. Like,
it's been a minute since we talked about the radon.
I know.
Yeah.
It's been a few weeks. That's a fair call.
He seems like a supportive, like, boyfriend, a good guy. Like, I'm going to defend Gil.
So why does Oscar want out of the relationship? He's been looking for a way
because
to get
Oscar
out of that
is
anyways.
Not the good person.
You are not a good person.
So upon initial, when we see Gil... when Oscar takes the sick day, you know, and they're out, you know, shopping and kind of just having a
ice
day together.
And-
yeah. And Dwight, I love that interaction.
Yeah.
That is the best thing ever. It's like, you are so busted.
Yeah.
Who is this? Gil.
Gil.
Who is this?
Who are you?
This is Dwight Schrute. <He's> like, and, so... you weren't sick at all. And so you kind of see like Gil and he's very I think he's very normal at that point.
Yeah.
But then you get him with at the art show And yes. This just makes me turn on Gil. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. He's pretentious, but he's not a... Yeah, I don't know. Okay, good argument. Good point. Good point. Good point.
He's just
point,
like...
1 point for AJ.
Like, it and I'm not saying, like, he's even just being, like, kind of pretentious. He's pretty brutal about it. Like, he's like... Yeah, he's comparing her to Monet.
Yeah.
And then at the same
first
time...
First work was The Hands of the Peasants. The
Hands of the Peasants. And then he calls it just motel art.
The way he... The disdain in which he says motel art.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
it's
you,
like, dang, man.
God,
that stung
suck.
A little bit more than if you would have just let it roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of Gil because he's got some pretty rude aspects. Now, I'm not saying that Oscar doesn't have something to do with this, but yeah. Man.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm on the screw Gil train. That's fine.
No. I'll buy a ticket for Gil. That train. I think he's just, I mean, he was a little rough on Pam at the art show, but otherwise, every other interaction you see, like, he's picking up Oscar from work, he's, like, going shopping. When Dwight showed up, he's like, I'm Gil, but he, like, invited him into his home, and they watched a movie together. Like, he's like, oh, who's this? Is this one of your friends from work? Or, you know, like, he seemed like an all right guy.
I don't know.
Other than being a real chode about the art.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just pretentious about art. I'll give you that.
You bet he is.
Are there any other significant others you guys want to dive into?
I don't think I've got too many other ones right now.
Oh, I mean, we could talk about how much I dislike Angela's sister.
Could talk about Michael's mom.
Michael's mom. I love that she's like local, but he never seems to spend time with her.
Yeah. Like,
she lives in... Where does she live? Cargill or what?
Carbondale.
Carbondale,
yeah.
Which is close enough for him
she'll
to
be at the
send
pool.
Ryan to go pick up that VHS tape.
Yeah, it's basically
and also
like
where
a,
they have a gas station with no fresh yams.
Yeah, it's like a borderline suburb is what it sounds like. Carbondale to Scranton and so on.
Yep.
But yeah, like I say, Michael's mom, like the relationship he has with her, I can't. It's almost uncomfortable.
I love that his mom on the phone sounds like George Costanza's mom from Seinfeld. Mom, I'm getting married. No, you're not.
No, you're not. Why don't you ever believe me when I'm telling you this?
Are you getting married?
No, I'm not getting married. I'm not.
And then he hangs up the phone.
Yeah, he just hangs up on her.
Hangs up on her. But also, you have to remember, he also calls several times like to mom. I think he calls her once when he burns his foot, but he also, does it when, is it, oh gosh, help me out here. He calls, he's like, well, I am putting myself out there, mom.
Yeah.
It's like, people just don't want.
Yeah. In New York. When he's
at
the nightclub.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
It's right after the Back to the Future girl, right?
That's right.
Or it's it's right after the girl who's leaving to go grab herself a drink, and then he sees her with the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she's like, so what do you do? I'm a bank teller.
Yeah.
Ryan says when women ask what you do, you always tell them you work in finance.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty excellent joke that I feel like gets blown past.
Oh, I agree. But yeah, I think it's just like this kind of uncomfortable, like, he also just has Ryan go to her house and like get in through the window.
Yes.
Yeah. See, so, I almost have the exact opposite argument I had with Jake, as where I feel like Michael's mom was probably a really good mom, but Michael was just the most exhausting kid ever. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Just exhausting.
Absolutely. And he was.
Sending Ryan, like, you're gonna sneak through the basement window. My mom's at the pool. Like, what if she wasn't? And Ryan's just like breaking into this house.
Yes.
And he's like, first of all, if they talk all the time, you know that she knows all about Ryan the temp, you know, just like Carol did.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
Diwali. But and she's just like, ugh, Michael, here's the video. Like,
did we ever find out what happened to Michael's dad? I know that he had a stepdad, Jeff, who was like, who seems very supportive, like really trying hard to make a relationship work with like taking him to a professional baseball game and like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like it sounds like It sounds like Jeff tried.
Yeah, really hard to be like a good present stepdad.
Yeah.
And I think BJ's right. I think Michael is just a really shitty kid. Really exhausting to deal with parenting.
Yeah.
I think there's like a scene, or maybe it is another deleted scene, where Michael kind of explains like why his dad left and it was because of him. Am I making that up? You guys don't remember that?
I don't remember that, but I'm not as well versed on the deleted scenes as you are. So there's a decent chance that that's something that happened, and I just don't know.
AJ, help me out, because it was like, I feel like it might have even been in one of the extended cuts where he's just like, I used to do this thing with my dad where I would say, like, what? And, like, what? What? Like, some.
I think he said that about Jeff.
Did he say that about Jeff?
I think he said it about Jeff to annoy him. Or, like, you know, because he never wanted to be on Jeff's side. He just wanted his mom to himself, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna look into that harder. And,
please.
If it comes back that's how his dad, that is really sad. But
yeah, I know.
But now I need to know. I need to know. Did Michael annoy his birth dad out of his life?
Out of his life. Ooh.
What is the context? I can't remember right now. What is the context of the tape of Michael as a little kid yelling, "I hate you," and crying?
That is the wedding.
The wedding. Him and Jeff. Yes. And
Jeff's
then he
wedding.
Peed his pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of a sudden,
right.
my
the
pants
dog
became
stole
wet.
The show.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the funniest part was that later that dog peed everywhere and
that
nobody
dog
pooed.
Pissed on everything. I love the insinuation that people booed him as a small child at his mom's second wedding. He's like upset and they just boo him. That's so good.
I hate you. Jeff's dog ended up. being the ring bearer.
I love the irony that Michael was booed at the wedding and then Michael is the only person booing Sweeney Todd.
Well, by the way, he also sees the ring bearer at Jim and Pam's wedding and says that he could have done better.
Oh,
yeah.
I will do better.
That's right.
God.
Outstanding.
Well,
that's some pretty good stuff.
I think there's some great stuff in
there
for
part
the family.
One. We got tons more that we can go through
another time. There's so many. I mean, there's so many things to go through. I mean, we didn't even get to touch on like Daryl, and we didn't get to touch I don't know.
Angela's
sister.
About
Dwight's siblings.
Dwight's siblings.
Yeah, Jeb and
Fanny.
What is it? Fanny. Yep, Fanny.
Yep.
Jeb is hilarious. Thomas Middleditch, very funny stuff.
Oh yeah.
I love their tradition.
Another Silicon Valley guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love their practice of shooting the dead body with a shotgun and kicking open the top of the casket because of the heavy sleepers.
Oh, God. That's the heavy sleepers.
Yeah, they had a spree, or what did he call it? We had a, I don't know, a period of time where they buried a lot of heavy sleepers, and so now they double-check to make sure the job is done or something to that effect.
But they double-check by shooting them three times with a shotgun.
I love that it goes through like this nice emotional moment, and then Dwight's like, all right, let's do this, and like kicks open the coffin and one-handed cocks this shotgun and just blam, and Oscar's like, all right, I'm out of here.
Oscar was the only one that came because he accidentally threw the wrong dirt at him.
He did it out of spite, but he forgot he did it until Oscar showed up and reminded him, and he's like, and then like chuckles to himself.
God, all right, we're calling it. That's family. That is extended family, part one right there, guys.
Love it, dudes.
We've got some fun stuff coming up for you. I can't wait to dive into some more character specific episodes. Getting into those like earlier seasons, we can start really working through those. And I think we got some other things coming up here on the docket as well.
Yeah.
So, but make sure you're still sending in those fan theories that you can. Make sure you keep sending in those fan theories so we can address them first and foremost on the show. And make sure you are giving us a call on that voicemail. What's that number, Nick?
It is area code 319-359-7977.
You heard it there.
I know we say it every week. You don't have to talk to anybody. It goes straight to voicemail.
Yep. Leave us a voicemail. Let us hear your voice and give us your fan theory. We would love to hear it. Anywhere on social media you can find me, I'm AJ Venz, AJAYVENS. That's AJ Venz. Anywhere on social media. What about you, Beej?
You can also find me on Instagram and TikTok with I Am The Beej. That's Beej, B-E-E-J. Follow me on both of those platforms.
You can find me, Nick Morella, at just about anything at Nick Morella. That's N-I-C-K-M-E-R-U-L-L-A. Find me at Twitch. That's where you'll probably see the most action from me. Otherwise, you can see me on Twitter. If you like beer and whiskey stuff, find me on Instagram at Morella Nick. Because and I've done some research on this. I falsely accused him of being from New Jersey. That bastard Nick Morella is from Philadelphia.
What a
who follows me. Followed me out of spite on Instagram. But you can follow me there on Morella Nick.
All right, guys. Thanks again so much for listening to Scotch and Splenda. Next time we will catch you on the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
Goodbye.